Reach the eye.
T-minus 5 seconds to critical mass.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Well, yes, welcome back to PDGA Radio. I am your host. Again, my name is Steve Kaczynski. I am PDGA number 29027, and this is the first of 40 weekly editions of PDGA Radio coming your way here in 2009. Coming your way this week is an interview with Chuck Kennedy, who gave me the lowdown on what superclass disc golf is and the direction it's trying to go. I also have all sorts of PDGA news, including a brief recap of the Memorial held earlier this month in Arizona. We'll look at the 2009 National Tour schedule and the Woodchuck Cider Drive for the championship. Also, stay tuned to find out how your local city and disc club could host a future PDGA World Championship event. I'll tell you about the early call for candidates who want to take part in the 2009 PDGA elections to be held later this summer. And we've also got information about the PDGA's new Disc Golfer magazine, which will be arriving in your mailbox within the next couple of weeks, if you're a PDGA member. Those stories and more are all on this edition of PDGA Radio.
Be a part of disc golf history as the Professional Disc Golf Association and Kansas City Flying Disc Club present the 2009 Disc Golf World Championships, July 27th through August 1st in Kansas City. Make your plans now to join the thousands of disc golf enthusiasts, as more than 20 world champions will have their names forever be a part of disc golf history. Join defending world champions David Feldberg and Valerie Jenkins, along with two-time world champion Nate Doss, 12-time world champion Ken Climo, and the hundreds of other players from all over the world for what is sure to be a fantastically entertaining week of disc golfing, friends, and fun. It's the 2009 Professional Disc Golf Association World Championships from Kansas City, July 27th through August 1st. Visit kcworlds.com for more information.
You're listening to PDGA Radio, and we have a lot to get to here this segment, but let's start it off with a look back at some results from a couple larger tournaments held earlier this year. The first stop of this tour will be in Live Oak, Florida for Juliana Korver's first annual women's only event held over the Valentine's Day weekend. There in the open women's division, it was Sarah Stanhope winning by 5 over Angela Chigfry and Liz Carr to claim the $500 first place prize. Barrett White wins for the Masters and Maureen Higgins grabs the win in the advanced division in what was a spectacular weekend, surely enjoyed by all 61 female players. Our next stop is that same weekend, but across the country in California for the 31st Wintertime Open, as Paul McBeth gets a hard-fought one-throw victory over Steve Rico and Nico LoCastro. Staying near the West Coast, but skipping ahead a couple weeks, we stop in Las Vegas for the highly popular Gentlemen's Club Challenge. On the men's side, it's Eric McCabe notching the big win early in the year, winning by 3 over Derek Billings and Paul Ulibarri. Valerie Jenkins wins by 6 over Liz Lopez for the women. Mike Milne wins by 1 over Rory Self in Masters. And A. Brian Desmarais wins in a playoff over Jason Fitzpatrick to win the advanced division. March 5th through the 7th saw the first event of the 2009 National Tour as Discraft presented the 2009 Memorial in Scottsdale, Arizona. After the three rounds, it was 20-year-old Missouri native Nico LoCastro picking up his first National Tour win, using a terrific second round to help him cruise to the three-throw victory over Avery Jenkins, with Barry Schultz and Paul Ulibarri close behind. The pro women's field was again bested by the two-time defending world champion Valerie Jenkins. She wins by 2 over Des Redding, with Liz Lopez 3 off the lead in third place. In other divisions, Dean Tanak won in Masters, Harvey Brandt wins Grand Masters, John Kirkland wins Senior Grand Masters, Sheila Kirkham wins the Women's Masters division, and Wisconsin's Scott Reek wins the advanced division by one throw over three other players. Now on to this past weekend of March 14th and 15th, where there were three eight-heaters and one major on the schedule, and they were all amateur-only events. We'll start with the major. It was the 2009 Amateur World Doubles Championships from Wimberley, Texas, as more than 100 teams from across the country played a variety of formats to decide who would earn one of the first world championships to be awarded this year. In the advanced division, it was Chris Hartley and Randy Moreno winning by one throw. The advanced women watched Paige Pierce and Haley Shepard win easily. Barry Pierce and Stuart Dewing won the world title in advanced masters. Arizonans Jamie LaFlang and Bob Michael forced a playoff on the final hole of regulation, then went on to win in a playoff over Mark McCrimmon and Dan Mueller in advanced masters. It took another playoff to decide the intermediate division. There it's Travis Coring and Logan Moody beating out Scott Thompson and Weston Moody on the second hole to become 2009 PDGA World Champions in doubles. It was Paige Pierce's third world doubles titles. For everyone else, it was their first. Elsewhere in California, it was the amateurs' turn for the St. Patrick's Classic eight-tier event. From an advanced division field of 54 players, they saw two locals battle down to a playoff with Daniel Leva, earning the victory over Sean Currier. In Roswell, Georgia, they held the Atlanta Amateur Open, an eight-tier where Jason O'Haron beats 30 other advanced players to win by three over Jason Tokyo. In North Carolina, they had the amateurs play the 26th annual Dogwood Crosstown Classic, and Buddy Tritt beats out Dakota Mincy and David Wiggins Jr., getting the win over the 40-player field. Now for a rundown of some pro winners from throughout the disc golf world this past weekend. Eric McCabe wins in Kansas, Matt Toy and Mike Henry get wins in Michigan, Santos Montoya wins in Texas, Chris Sprague wins in Iowa, Kyle McClure wins in Missouri, Johnny McRae wins in a playoff over Ken Climo and Brian Moore in Florida, and internationally in Germany, it was Andreas Gertsch winning the 7th annual Chile Open. We're showing nearly 20 sanctioned tournaments worldwide on the PDGA schedule for this upcoming weekend of March 21st and 22nd, as the first official weekend of spring hopes to lure players onto the course for some more competitive disc golf action. Some of those events include eight-tiers in North Carolina with the Carolina Clash, and in California for the pros' turn to play in the St. Patrick's Classic. The full schedule and complete results from tournaments held in previous weeks is, of course, available on the PDGA schedule from PDGA.com. The next national tour event will be in Georgia for the Atlanta Open, March 28th and 29th. Then the national tour's off for a month until the Green Country Open, April 25th and 26th in Oklahoma. And then May brings the tour to California and Oregon for back-to-back weekends of national tour goodness. Hey amateurs, don't forget about the 2009 Bowling Green Amateur Championships, annually one of the largest disc golf events in the world, and it's coming up sooner than you might expect. More than 350 players are already signed up to compete April 3rd through the 5th in Kentucky. Overall, the PDGA schedule for 2009 will consist of nearly 1,000 tournaments worldwide, including 8 majors, 10 national tour events, and 52 eight-tier or super tour events. The major event schedule is highlighted, of course, by the 28th annual Disc Golf World Championships held in late July in Kansas City. Also, the European Open is this August in Finland, and the 11th United States Disc Golf Championships are in South Carolina in October. This year, the PDGA will sanction events in at least 47 states, 3 Canadian provinces, and 17 other countries. The PDGA National Tour, of course, represents the top tier of pro disc golf events, was established in 2003 as a means of showcasing disc golf to the general public. The 2009 tour consists of 10 events held across the country, starting with the Memorial and ending with the Vibram Open in Massachusetts in August. Competitors earn points based upon their place of finish, with the results of their top 4 finishes used to qualify for the Drive for the Championship, which is again being presented by Woodchuck Cider. David Feldberg and Valerie Jenkins won the season awards in 2008. This is PDGA Radio. More disc golf news and information is coming your way.
It's at PDGAStore.com.
Visit the PDGA Store today for your disc golf shopping needs. Find great prices on tournament supplies, instructional books, and DVDs. Or look through the fine selection of PDGA clothing, apparel, and accessories.
You can find it all at PDGAStore.com.
Place an order for your copy of the latest World Championships DVD. Join or renew your PDGA membership for 2009. Then take the online Tournament Director and Officials test. And finally, grab a copy of the newly updated 21st edition PDGA course directory.
Yes, it's all at PDGAStore.com.
You are listening to PDGA Radio, and this is PDGA Radio News. If you haven't seen or heard about it yet, the PDGA will soon be unveiling their new Disc Golfer magazine. The first issue is coming out in April to all current PDGA members. The magazine will be produced by the PDGA Media Group, with current PDGA board member and former publisher of Disc Golf World magazine Rick Rothstein serving as the managing editor. As the magazine is a PDGA member benefit financed by the membership, the staff of Disc Golfer magazine is asking all PDGA members or other interested disc golfers to send them your best disc golf stories, photos, or just general comment suggestions or story ideas. Those interested in providing content for future issues of Disc Golfer magazine should check out the new PDGA.com and the magazine's special section on the PDGA discussion board for the contact information. Or as always, you can just contact the PDGA office for more details. Also on a side note, Flying Disc magazine, which is published by Rich Givens and had served as the official PDGA magazine in 2008, is continuing its production. Their first 2009 issue is currently on sale at bookstores nationwide, including selected Barnes & Noble, Borders, Hastings, and Books A Million stores. If magazines aren't your cup of tea and you're more of an audio-video type of person, you might be in luck as well. The PDGA is now accepting bid proposals for the filming and DVD production of the 2009 PDGA Pro and Am World Championships, to be held this year July 27th through August 1st in Kansas City. The deadline, though, is quickly approaching to submit your proposal, that deadline being April 17th. The scope and details of the project, along with bid requirements, are available from PDGA.com. The Professional Disc Golf Association's Board of Directors will be holding their annual Spring Summit meeting at the International Disc Golf Center in Appling, Georgia, April 30th and May 1st. Possibly one of the more important items of business they will be handling is the accepting and considering of proposals from cities who want to host the PDGA's Professional World Championships in the years 2010, 11, and 12. If your local disc golf club or city is interested in hosting the Pro Disc Golf World Championships, or just want to find out more information, check out PDGA.com or contact the office. The Board of Directors would like at least 2 weeks to review any proposal that wants to be considered at this year's Spring Summit, so if you are interested, you have to have all information submitted prior to April 15th. At this time, the Amateur World Championships have already been awarded through 2011. The bids for the Amateur Championships for 2012 and 13 will be accepted and reviewed in September during the 2009 Fall Summit meeting. The 2009 World Championships will be again a combined professional and amateur event. They're in Kansas City this year, July 27th through August 1st. More information about this year's event can be found at kcworlds.com. As summer is drawing near, it's time to again prepare for the annual PDGA election and to send out the important call for candidates to have their names put on the ballot. This year, the election will be shortened down from 2 months to 1 month and take place during the month of July. The elected candidates assume office as of September 1st. The 2009 election will again be held online with PDGA members casting their ballots at vote-now.com. Last year's election saw a record percentage of members participate with their votes. In accordance with the bylaws, four at-large board member positions will be determined in this election. The four candidates who obtain the most votes will secure office beginning September 1st and running through August 31st, 2011. At their first meeting, the new board will elect the president and other officers from among the seven board members. Also on the ballot are the state and provincial coordinators who represent more than 50 key volunteer positions within the PDGA. Each year, half of the coordinator positions are up for election. If you are interested in running for a position, please download the candidate questionnaire from pdga.com/elections. This form can also be requested by contacting the PDGA office. The form completed must be returned to the office along with a candidate statement no later than May 29th. And even if you decide not to run for a position, when you do receive your online ballot, please take just a few minutes of your time and submit that ballot. In doing so, you not only fulfill one of your basic rights and responsibilities as a PDGA member, but you're also demonstrating that the work performed by these core volunteers is important and worthwhile for you personally, for the PDGA, and for disc golf as a whole. The PDGA is also currently requesting candidates for the annual Bob West Memorial Award for Sportsmanship, where a sportsman or sportswoman is defined as someone who observes the rules of play and wins or loses with grace. So if you know of an unheralded PDGA member who consistently exhibits the qualities of sportsmanship during competition and who has contributed in significant other ways to the positive growth of the sport for several years or longer, please email a brief statement outlining the qualities and contributions of that proposed candidate to the Executive Director of the PDGA, Brian Graham. His email address is bgraham@pdga.com. Please hurry, though. The deadline for nominations is Friday, March 27th. PDGA will then review the candidates received and list the most deserving on the ballot, which is voted on by the touring pros, state, province, and country coordinators, the major and national tours event directors, and the PDGA's board of directors and staff. Jay Redding was the recipient of the award in 2008. Others nominated included Marty Hafner, Brad Schick, and Mike Wirth.
Are you a PDGA member? Do you know the benefits of being a PDGA member? Well, let's run down the list of just some of the benefits available only to members of the Professional Disc Golf Association.
Hey, thanks, Billy. Some of those benefits include a free subscription to Disc Golfer Magazine, discounted tournament entry fees, official player ratings, discount with Enterprise Rent-A-Car, a vote in the annual elections, discounts at Wyndham Hotels, including Days Inn, Super 8, Howard Johnson, and Travelodge. Also a collectible members-only golf disc and a free membership to Disc Golf United.
Yes, all this and more can be yours just by becoming a member of the PDGA today. For more information on how you and your family can become members of the Professional Disc Golf Association and help support disc golf, visit PDGA.com. Welcome back to PDGA Radio, where I recently had the opportunity to speak with Chuck Kennedy, PDGA number 4949. Over the years, Chuck has been a leading innovator for disc golf, both in his home state of Minnesota and nationally and internationally, with some of his most notable accomplishments, including the current player rating system, the course rating system, and the newest version of disc golf known as Superclass.
The Superclass category is a subset of the regular golf discs that are designed to use our shorter courses more effectively, and even our longer courses provide a challenge that gives us more par 3s, 4s, and 5s on the course, more like a regular golf game. In general, the concept came about because in taking a look at the courses that we had out there, we really don't have too many par fours and par fives because of the development of the high-tech discs that has made, especially for our top players, almost all of the holes reachable on our existing courses. And it's difficult for many of them, which are landlocked, to be able to be expanded. So the idea was to come up with a category of discs that made our existing courses more playable, like what we think of as traditional golf, where there actually are two or three shots required before you get to the basket. So that was the idea to start with in terms of the Superclass. Superclass was just approved the first week of January of 2009, and the only events that have occurred so far is the Superclass League we've been running here in the Twin Cities, and also a couple Ice Bowl events where they've attempted Superclass. So we're still way early in the game here with regard to that. However, there have been some great innovations that that have occurred. I've already talked with a manufacturer that's specifically working on specs for a Superclass disc, and some other manufacturers are taking a look at adding a Superclass disc to their line, and some existing manufacturers are taking a look at modifications, primarily weight or different types of plastics in models that are already approved for a Superclass to enhance their capabilities for Superclass.
Again, you're listening to PDGA Radio as we speak with Chuck Kennedy about the newest form of disc golf known as Superclass. Next, Chuck talks more about the current and future disc selection for Superclass and the unique flight characteristics of those discs.
We wanted to have a spec set for Superclass discs that included existing discs that were already out there and also provide room for innovation for the manufacturers to come up with the same type of variety of discs that players have fun with regular golf discs, where there are certain types of Superclass discs that are better for putting, some are better for rolling, some are better for upshots, some are better for longer drives, some are better for turnovers, some are better for in the wind, some for tailwind, all of those types of things. I mean, at this point, since we're just getting started, we don't have that type of richness in terms of the variety of discs, but that doesn't mean that similar evolution in the Superclass category can't occur the same as it has with regular golf discs. The only area that we don't look for innovation in particular is distance, and that's really one of the fundamental things that has made it challenging for course designers for regular golf plastic to be able to keep up with the types of distances being thrown with the evolution of the plastic, where the courses were actually challenging enough to truly provide a golf-like challenge for the better players using the high-tech plastic. Of course, the idea is to match the driving distance to the length of the existing holes out there so that many of our existing holes that are, say, 400 feet, which the big arms can reach with regular golf plastic, the Superclass crushers will get it out there 250 to 275. And that way they have a challenging upshot in order to actually secure their three, unlike just a maybe a 40 or 50 foot putt with regular plastic. Of course, the discs fly slower, so the discs are in the air just as long as regular golf plastic, in fact, maybe even a little bit longer. And one of the things that a lot of our young players that have tried the Superclass League have discovered is they really enjoy watching the disc fly, like all of us, and it just hovers and does things that you can actually see happen rather than quickly as a blur with high-tech drivers.
PDGA Radio's conversation with Chuck Kennedy about Superclass continues as we discuss the possibility that everyone has to run their own PDGA-sanctioned Superclass event. And it's a great way to entice non-PDGA members to try disc golf out for themselves.
As far as running a Superclass event, there's really nothing fancy about doing it. The existing divisions structure operates the same way as it does for regular events. All of the divisions are available. There is an FAQ question and answer on Superclass already posted on the PDGA website. If you look under the FAQ menu link on the PDGA homepage. And I've already prepared a super class submenu section for the PDGA website, which Dave Gentry hasn't had the chance to put up yet. But a lot of information is available, and I'm always available to answer questions for people. And, in fact, they've sought me out already with regard to their interest in running these events. From a practical standpoint, it's ready to go. The sanctioning agreement identifies Superclass as an option, as an XC tier. And two kind of incentives that the PDGA approved for this year is the sanctioning fee is only $25 compared to $50 for a C tier. And non-members do not have to pay the $10 non-member fee that they do for regular events. And the idea behind this is to use this as kind of a stepping stone to encourage some new players to give disc golf a try with regard to the competitive scene and PDGA events. A longer-range aspect of Superclass is the hope that we can potentially encourage ultimate players whose Ultrastar and other discs that they use for ultimate are legal for Superclass. So they already have the skills to throw these discs in the first place. So there are many people out there that already have a Superclass disc and maybe didn't even realize it. Many of your Picnic Frisbees are also legal for Superclass. But ideally, the reason we've called it Superclass as opposed to Frisbee Class is that Superclass discs can be heavier, in fact, up to 200 grams compared to the typical Picnic Frisbee. And the idea behind that is to actually make the catch discs more golf-like so they're able to handle the wind better and also be able to handle the heavier chains in the existing baskets out there, which, you know, a 100-gram disc Picnic Frisbee just doesn't really push the chains in that well.
Superclass might also have found the way to attract a larger pro division, which could interest some of you, even those who aren't pros using the more typical golf discs.
I think one of the things that is that we're discovering as we go along, and we sort of expected this from the beginning, is that we may end up with bigger open divisions within Superclass tournaments. What we've discovered is that players all the way from Master Pros to Grandmaster Pros to intermediate players and advanced players, there's a much tighter scoring range in the skill differences between open players and intermediate players. And in fact, in some cases, intermediate players play better than open players with Superclass. So the idea is that maybe we won't need to have as many divisions in Superclass and still have people being able to compete with each other. And ironically, open players could potentially have bigger divisions in Superclass than they might find in the regular high-tech divisions where their score separation puts them that much farther ahead of other people in their skill bracket.
And finally, Chuck Kennedy tells us about plans that are in the works for a 2009 National Championships to be held in August for the Superclass.
We are planning a Superclass Nationals. We're not going to start with the world thing at this point. But Brian Cummings, who is putting in a bid to host the 2010 Pro World near Chicago, is working on a sanctioning agreement right now for the Superclass Nationals, which would be an A-tier, August 22nd and 23rd. And so we're excited about that potential coming up here this summer.
Thanks again to Chuck Kennedy for telling us more about Superclass Disc Golf. You are listening to PDGA Radio. Once again, I'm your host, Steve Kaczynski, PDGA number 29027. And, well, we have quickly run out of time for this week's edition. A final reminder that for more information about Superclass Disc Golf, visit PDGA.com or contact Chuck Kennedy. He's PDGA number 4949. And remember, PDGA Radio is podcastable through PDGARadio.com, so set up your computer now to make sure you don't miss anything, and so you can get each and every edition of PDGA Radio as soon as it's available. Thanks for listening to PDGA Radio, your weekly source for disc golf news and information. Your story ideas, comments, and feedback about the program is always welcome. You can email us at pdgaradio@pdga.com. Sponsorship partners and advertising opportunities are also available with PDGA Radio. Please contact the PDGA office for more details. And again, thanks for listening to PDGA Radio.
Goodbye.